Hey, St. John. Welcome to the Post-Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hi, Deaconess. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am well.
We are recording this episode right before Dr. Lessing's workshop on the Book of Job, which is hosted right now at St. John. It's a couple of members who are here, but mostly clergy.
Yeah. It's been a good conference so far. Job, what was he saying? Is the vindication of this righteous sufferer?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's been a kind of the theme of the conference so far.
Yeah. So it's been really good. So we are recording this episode before the conference, and we are discussing Pastor Adam's sermon from this past Sunday. So first off, tell us a little bit about the text that you preached on.
Yeah, so we are in Luke chapter 12, and this is a long chapter in Luke, and there's a lot happening in there. We'll be in there again this coming Sunday with another part of it, and specifically this part is where Jesus is teaching. A stranger calls out from the crowd about getting justice, about inheritance with his brother, and so Jesus responds with a parable, and it's called the parable of the rich fool, and it's a man who has a great harvest. He starts to build barns, and he's talking to himself of he can just eat, drink, and be merry, and things are all good. And he loses sight of the real realities of the situation that, no, this night he's going to die. And I mean, God even calls this man a fool. And Jesus is very much helping us align our perspectives of what does matter, where should our emphasis be, and ultimately on the God who can kill and the God who makes alive.
So in the reading, the man wanted justice from God, correct?
Yeah, the stranger in the crowd.
Well, he did, from Jesus, I should say. He didn't realize he was God.
Yeah, we don't know if
we
don't know if the man officially recognized, you know, Jesus is Yahweh in the flesh, right? You know, he calls out to him, "Teacher, you know, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he's not realizing who he's talking to. If he wants someone to act with complete justice, I don't know if he wants Christ to, because we see what he did with Pharaoh in Egypt, we see what he did with the Israelites in the wilderness. Christ will hold sinners accountable, right? He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. This is a real reality of our Lord.
That was a really interesting theme of your sermon, just this divine justice versus human justice, and just how it's different and how it goes down to how God's perspective is so much bigger and wider than like our own. Can you speak into that a little bit?
I think we often get caught up on our day-to-day lives, our priorities, our to-do list, and sometimes we think those things are so important and have such weight and significance, and we are reminded again and again in Scripture how it is God's priorities, it is God's working, it is God's story, it is His perspective that ultimately matters. And so this parable, this rich fool, I'm going to build barns, I'm going to set up my retirement, I'm just going to kind of, you know, ease into the rest of my life. And God's saying, no, my way. That's what's set. And tonight, I demand your life. Tonight, you are going to die. And we need to remember that our Lord's perspective is what overrides everything. And honestly, this has always been our challenge since the fall. Is it our way or is it God's way? Did God really say, or did he not?
So would you say that's the problem that your sermon sought to identify, that we want things our own way?
Yeah, I think so. And we see this in a couple of specific ways in the reading. We have the selfishness of the man saying, I divide the inheritance with me. Now, again, we don't know the full context. We don't know, you know, maybe his brother really is a cheat and this guy's just kind of a victim. But can we get so caught up in something that our selfishness arises? Yeah, absolutely. And that's one way we see the, I want my way. You also have this man in the parable who's a fool, and God calls him that, who gets so caught up in the cares and the riches of this world that he fails to see the God who has come to rescue him, or the God who will hold this world accountable. And so you have selfishness, you have this also just this foolish perspective of, you know, these temporal, transient things, thinking that they have eternal significance, and they don't.
So then how is Jesus the medicine for this man, but also for us?
The sermon, I was hoping to direct us to see things through Jesus' perspective. And so part of this is Jesus sees who we really are. He sees us dead in our trespasses and sins. He sees us as rebellious against God, just as Pharaoh is rebellious, just as the Israelites are rebellious. We in our sins are rebellious against Christ. And in our sin, what did we do as humanity? We committed such injustice that we killed God's son. We nailed him to the cross. And this is a huge theme in Luke of the injustice of Jesus' death. He's innocent. I find nothing wrong in this man. You read through the passion account of Luke, you just get this over and over. Nothing they found wrong in him. And so Jesus dies this unjust death. And for whatever gracious reason, we're forgiven. Right from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father will not tolerate the injustice done against his son to last. And so 3 days later, the Father raises his son. And Jesus has all authority and power because he's God. And since he's God, he says, I forgive you. It's true. He says, I will raise you up in the last day. It's true. And why? He's gracious. And it's just a gift. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we have earned, even in spite of our unjust ways against our God unjustly raises us from the dead on the last day. And so it kind of turns justice all on its head and puts it into God's terms and kind of God's economy of viewing these words.
Isn't it kind of both, though? There's injustice, but this also, or the injustice of the cross, but this also appeases God's wrath. So that is justice for God.
Sure. No, this is a good question. And we see this like in our proper preface right now in our liturgy that, you know, Jesus' death, it saves us from God's wrath and from sin, death, and hell. But this is something that's interesting when you read through Luke, and especially when you approach the cross in Luke's gospel. It's really important when you read the gospels each, you know, to ask, why does Jesus die? How is the gospel writer presenting it? And you don't get atonement language. You don't get Jesus was the sacrifice. You don't get he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You don't see those themes in Luke. It's not that his blood covers our sins. What you see is Jesus is killed unjustly. Why does Jesus die? Wicked men killed him. That's why he dies in Luke. And so the Father says, nope, that's not my way. I will assert my way. I will raise my son from the dead. And can you imagine, as the people have killed Jesus, to see him risen from the dead, the people who denied Christ and abandoned him see him risen from the dead. No wonder when he appears to his disciples, he says things like, do not be afraid. Because that would be our response, is we killed him and now he's back. And as God, he graciously says, I forgive you. And so the gospel emphasis in Luke is not so much that Jesus is appeasing God's wrath. The emphasis is Jesus, he's God, and so he forgives you graciously, inexplicably, because we have nothing going for us that would deserve that. And so it's a bit of a different take on looking at the gospel. And yeah, it's something to look at when you read the gospels, all four, how they approach the cross and why does Jesus die here? Why does he rise here?
Sure, that makes sense. And since you've been focusing on the gospel of Luke right now, answering that question, why Jesus died on the cross, focusing on that injustice, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so you could even say, and this might make us a little uncomfortable because we're so used to talking in terms of the gospel, well, Jesus loves me or Jesus died for my sins. Jesus doesn't die for your sins per se in Luke's gospel, or at least it's not a major theme in Luke's gospel. You know, there is some of that language there. There is sacrifice. The gospel begins and ends in the temple. You know, those themes are just prevalent, but they're not the main focus for Luke. Jesus dies because wicked men killed him. Jesus rose because the Father says, no, that wicked act does not get a final say. I get the final say. And on top of that, my final say is, I forgive you. Why? Because.
So how do you intend to benefit your hearers in their faith or life?
The goal of the sermon here was to remind us our perspective must align with Christ's perspective. Our way of seeing the world needs to be seen through the eyes of Christ. And so to recognize our sin and to repent of it, to live and act and breathe and do according to Jesus' way, not the world's way, not our priorities, not our foolishness, not our selfishness. It's Christ's way. And you'll see more of these themes next week, because we're going to read more of chapter 12, as I said, and just set your eyes on the reign of God. Set your eyes on his way. You'll see those themes emphasized again as you read more of Luke 12.
Where do we find the sermon's teaching in the small catechism?
In the first article of the Creed, when we speak of the Father and his creating work, at the end of the explanation there, Luther talks about all this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. Now, the article is talking about how God is preserving his creation. He sustains his creation. He cares for it. He cares for believer and unbeliever alike. And why? He just does. It is his fatherly divine mercy and goodness without any worthy, right? Or without any merit or worthiness in me. And just as we see this God caring for his creation and sustaining his creation out of pure grace, out of just because he does, we can make a nice connection over to the gospel work of our God. Why does he save you? Because he does. It's just his character to save. It is his character to forgive and to show mercy. That is, that's the heart of our God.
I love that. You mentioning it's his character to show his mercy. And you also said in your sermon that his goodness does not depend on him saving us. So could you go into that a little bit more? Because I think that's a pretty jarring statement to make.
Yeah, yeah. When we speak of the attributes of God, you know, God's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, you know, God is the supreme, he's the epitome of all these things. And so, of course, God is, he is goodness. That's who he is. He is good. And his goodness is not dependent on us. And so if God saved us or not, you know, if he sent his son or not, it does not change the goodness of God. Which I think initially is, that sounds really upsetting or even offensive, because we get that, you know, how can a good God allow these things to happen? He's good no matter what happens in this world. That doesn't change. And that just reminds us of how small we are in the grand scheme of things. And yet for a gracious, inexplicable reason, you do matter to him. He does forgive you. He will raise you from the dead. Why? Because that's who he is. Because that is his character. But his goodness does not hinge upon him saving you or me.
Yeah. Who are we as God's creatures to accuse him of not being good to us or any of his acts, right?
Yeah, I think of like Romans 9, when Paul's getting to, you know, Jew and Gentile relations about election, and you get that little line in there from Paul, you know, who are you, O man, to talk back to God, right? We are the pot, and he is the potter, right? Remember your place.
Yeah, and we get this in the book of Job, too, what we're learning right now.
Yeah.
God speaking to Job, like, were you there when I made the world?
Right, for sure, for sure. And the character of God is he does vindicate Job and preserves him, and he will do the same for us.
Very good. Do you have anything else you want to mention about the sermon?
I had a tough time writing this one. I had a completely different outline and structure I was going to use in the sermon. I was going to like involve like Shakespeare, because we have that play here, and so I had Shakespeare in the mind and just different aspects of a play, and I was going to go in that whole direction, and eventually I just kind of turned it to the different perspectives in the reading and just used those perspectives as my structure. And so it was kind of a last minute, you know, rewrite. And yeah, it wasn't because I didn't have like content. It was almost, I had too much to say or too much to bring up, and just trying to filter down how to go about that. And so, yeah, there's some weeks I wish I had that much material.
Yeah. But, yeah. Does that happen a lot where you have to rewrite your sermon outline?
It really just, it's just week to week. This is something I talk about with the vicars, that every week when you prepare your sermon, you know, when you start from the moment of translating to the time of writing a manuscript and memorizing, you're going on a journey every week, and you're going to hit these different kind of roadblocks and forks in the road, and you don't know where they're going to be that week. You don't know what's going to be the issue, and you have to kind of become more and more adept of getting around them, or how do I overcome it this time, or just different strategies and methods. And so, yeah, this week just happened to be, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I had a solid outline. And then I sat down to write. I realized I don't like this outline. I don't think it works well. So what can I do with what I have? And so that's what happened this week.
All right, folks, this wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to today's discussion. In case you missed today's sermon or would like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon is in the show notes. You can also find it on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. And thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Thanks, Deaconess. You have a good one.
All right. Bye. Take care.